Welcome to the Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman and sponsored by the Stanford Inn Eco Resort on the Mendocino coast of California. Sid is a certified nutritionist, health coach, and author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, out now on Roundtree Press. Sid is also the programs director at the Stanford Inn's Mendocino Center for Living Well, one of the most holistic and integrated wellness centers in the country. The Approaching the Natural podcast explores all aspects of human health, including nutrition, movement, mindfulness, art, and much more.
Hello, Small Steppers. This is Sid Garza-Hillman, and you are listening to the Approaching the Natural podcast, a weekly podcast, in theory, and one where I discuss my philosophy of health and happiness, and especially my approach to that philosophy. I am the small step advocate, so it's all about small steps for me. And what sets me apart is how small I go, and what I mean by that. And so listen in. If you're just joining me, I do urge you to go back and as early as you want, actually, and get a sense of what goes on here. Each podcast is sort of an independent post. They're not related to each other, although I do revisit topics all the time. What I discuss big picture, if I had to sort of sum it up, is how to live more naturally in an unnatural world, and to remember that we are animals, and as much as we try to fake that we're not by the clothes we wear and the cars we drive and the tools we use and the this and that and the technologies and everything else, we are animals. And I'm not ever going to advocate here giving up anything in the modern world in terms of us having to move away or live back in the wild or whatever. All I'm saying is that by degrees, we can include a little more of what is natural to us as a species in our lives within the context of the modern world. That's all I'm saying. How do we regain a little bit of what's more natural for us? And why would we do that? The question is, why would we do that? Because I believe that it enables us to live more happily and healthily in the context of the modern world when we start to appeal to our natural design a little bit more. We're not going to go all the way. Excuse me. We're never going to be in balance 100% with the unnatural world we've created. We cannot be a natural animal that we are, especially physically, but also mentally, and still live in the modern world and be totally in balance with it. We can't do it. We can't do it. It's just that train has left the station. We can't do it. It's not cynical the way that I say that. It is just, why don't we just accept that we're not in tune with our nature, with the natural world. We're not in tune with the natural world the way that wild animals are. We've totally separated ourselves out. But what I do think is we can start to regain a little bit back and live a whole bunch better. I mean, we do have a ton of room to move. And I think I touched upon this last week, but I feel like I'm actually quite positive in my hope for us as a species that I believe when we take the pressure off of ourselves of having to do everything all at once right away and say, well, let's just gain a little bit back. Let's just regain some of the ground and see what that's like. And I think if we start to do that one by one, very quickly we make a huge dent in our ability to live better, and we start to really see the results fast. There's a lot of us on this planet, and 99% of people on this planet listen to this podcast. I have 7.9 billion listeners. It's unbelievable. And that's why, by the way, I can afford the kind of scotch that I drink. Frankly, what I try to do is I try to relate very accessible messages that everybody in the entire world thinks is fantastic. Okay, so that's what I do. I want you to count stuff. I want you to weigh stuff. I want you to take a ton of pills. Whatever you can do to not pay attention, that is my message. Okay, write that down. Don't pay attention. Okay. In all seriousness, I actually think a lot about how I kind of run into stuff on this podcast, and I'm just like, sometimes I'm whipping stuff out and I think, what if somebody is joining for the first time, like on this episode? Like, I kind of feel like I have to be a little bit responsible, and not be completely nut. But at the same time, I go, hey, this is underground. And so if this is freaking you out, but you go, just back up like three episodes. Every now and then I'll just start the episode off just totally crazy so that most people who are listening for the first time might just go, holy, what? Just because, whatever. I got to do that. I got to give myself a little bit of fun. I don't know why that's fun for me, but that's what I do. Okay, so before we move on, you know the deal on the show notes, and so I'm going to whip through this really quickly. I'm trying to like get it to 30 seconds. But hey, man, you know what? I'm here every week. I just, in case you are joining me, I want you to know how to contact me or connect with me. Okay, it's not a bad thing. This episode is sponsored by the Stanford and Eco Resort, as is pretty much everyone. They basically set me up in the beginning, and I kind of run into. Okay, don't make money from this podcast, but they just kind of get me set up with the equipment. And I head up their wellness center, and that's at stanfordinn.com or livingwellmendocino.com. We have some really cool retreats coming up in September, mid to late September and October. Cooking and nutrition classes with me, and healthy living and small stepping, and gardening even, and just groovy stuff. So if you're into that, go to livingwellmendocino.com. and check them out. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Sid Garza Hillman. You can go to SidGarzaHillman.com to check out my private practice. I do take clients very minimally, but I keep a small group, mostly because I spend a lot of time with you, frankly, and I just can't have, you know, just physically, like, don't have the time to have a whole bunch of people. I like to devote. It's very intimate and very devoted in the time that you spend with me. So just so you know what you're getting into. It's super fun. I'm not saying that. That I will guarantee. Guarantee it's fun. And anyway, so SidGarzaHillman.com, you can see what I do. You can also buy a freaking t-shirt. And they're selling, man. So I don't want to tell anybody who hasn't gotten one, other than you need to pay better attention to your life in the modern world if you have not bought a Birch and the Natural t-shirt. Insane. Why would you not do that? Single mom. Hey, I've got a new video in the works. Shot some footage over the weekend, so I'm going to do a little editing of that tonight, and hopefully I'll post that. But if you go to YouTube, search on Sid Garza Hillman and subscribe to my whatchamacallit channel. What else? My Spreecast. So September 13th, my free monthly Spreecast where you can ask me questions live, see me on video, answer them, and you can see and hear me, which is fun, and bring questions. Last month, super fun, great questions, and I post them, everyone can read them, and I'll answer them. So that's September 13th, 11 a.m. That's a Saturday. And you go to Spreecast.com and search on Sid Garza Hillman, or go to my website and you can go on events and appearances, and there's a direct link to the next Spreecast. Okay? Okay. So I want to discuss my meditation step that I tackled last week. Remember that? Where I kind of dialed in the journaling. Still going strong. Journaling is what I do. It's just what I do. Now, how cool is that? 2-3 months, boom. I journal every day. Anybody ask me, do you journal? I'd respond, yeah, I journal every day. Or I would say I journal most days, but frankly, I'm doing it every day. And I would be totally honest about that. How cool is that? I'm getting kind of off of a tangent here, but I was thinking, like, for me now, journaling, no big deal. Journaling, no big deal. In the beginning, kind of a big deal. Why? Because in the very beginning, like over 3 months ago, when I took on too much. So it's a big deal. It's too big of a deal. For some people, running 6 miles is a huge deal. For some people, running 6 miles, that's no big deal. So the question is, can you bring into your life behaviors that you want to take on such that eventually they become sort of, no big deal. I mean, that's really what I'm getting at with all these podcasts every week, and I'm going to just keep coming every week. I want you to use this podcast, okay? It's free. You owe it to me. Your payment to me for this time that I spend with you is to come back every week and just spend, if this is what you got right now, the time is all you have in your car, coming to work, just do it, okay? Every week and see what happens. Just see what frickin' happens, okay? Don't put any expectations. Spend this time with me. See what unfolds in between the podcasts in your life. Just see, okay? Can you begin or can you incorporate habits, I'll put it that way, in your life where eventually they become no big deal? The answer is absolutely. I mean, I'm 100%. I said, I can't remember what episode because it's all a blur, honestly. But what I said was, it's like I just have to, like, every now and then test the waters, you know, with myself. I'm doing it with my clients and I see it working. It's just, like I said before, it's not overnight. It's not the fancy, you know, before and after shot. What? Look what I did. Look what I did. I jumped ahead to the title. I do that. I'm not there yet, you guys. Okay? Listen, again, okay? Come here every week, but you keep it to yourself. Don't try to hurry me along. It's just plain rude. Okay? It's like a scotch. It takes time. Okay? It takes time. I went to Scotland years ago, 2002, by the way. Okay, well, hold on. So back to the... Oh, whoa. I'm all over the place this week. Bear with me. Anyway, I have to test the waters. And I did that with the journaling just to be like, Is this still work? Totally works. Okay? Scientific. Totally works. Quote me on that. It really does. And it takes time. But when you actually have the awareness enough to break your steps down smaller than you even think, because remember I said 10 minutes of journaling seemed the smallest thing ever, and it was too big. So when you are able and willing to go even smaller than you think, how small? You'll know because you start doing it every day. How small? Because you will start doing it every day. Then you go, okay, this is as small as I need to go. Okay? Then you build from there, and you build from there, and you build from there, and then you get to a point where you start to burn out a little bit. Ah, back down, and you ease you in back and forth, constant assessment, and then the magic is beginning. It already happens the day you take that first step because you are building your life. You are taking control of your life. You are learning about what you can do. You're learning how to assess your life, take control of the act of your own actions. I mean, it's all this learning experience. I mean, it's this whole thing of self-discovery along the way that you can't get by being handed a plan and say, here, follow this. You learn nothing in that process. But in the small step approach, you decide, okay, well, I want to include this in my life, and I'd like to include this in my life, and yes, fine, look at the results and say, you know, I'd like to be thinner, and I'd like to be healthier, and all those things are all fine. They're all fine. Then the work begins, the hard work, right? But not hard in the way of, you know, working 15 hours a day and not getting any sleep, but the hard work of finally attending to your life in a way that brings you true change. And the whole world is designed for you not to pay attention like that. The whole world is designed for you to not have to be aware of the things in your life that you want to change because it's too easy to be distracted. It's too easy to be distracted. So then you might go, well, so what? So if it's better, I mean, it's so easy to be distracted, why wouldn't I just distract myself? Because when you're talking about being actually healthy and happy, or let's just say happy, shall we? Because I think being healthy is part of being happy. That's an argument I make. And win, frankly, to be happy, to be truly happy, I believe, means paying attention. You can get moments of pleasure from distractions. I'm not saying that, okay? I'm acknowledging that. Fine. You can get moments of pleasure from distractions of entertainment and light box foods and just those two things, basically. But you know, drugs, alcohol, the whole thing. You can jump from distraction to distraction. But at the end of the day, it's not going to yield you a healthy, happy life. And I think we're designed to seek that. I think we're wired to seek that. And all I'm saying is if you acknowledge that part of your design, this is a way that you can actually do this. Trust me, we all go to diets and quick fixes for the same result. I'm just telling you that they don't work. And here's what you can do to actually do this. Okay? I was thinking about it actually, like, I would say quick fixes and diets are sort of, in a way, look like they're vacations from life. I mean, there are these moments where you can check out in a weird way. Like, the thing about diets is, like, it's a sheep and wolf, you know what I'm saying, Steppenwolf. Sheep and wolf clothing, it's like a wolf in sheep's clothing. God, how, okay, I don't even know that metaphor. Just delete and rewind. Okay. They look like they're going to gain you health. I mean, a lot of diets are in the business of selling you what looks to be health in a way, cleanses, right? The word cleanse, I'm cleansing. I'm getting clean. I'm cleansing. But essentially what they are, and this may be a tough pill to swallow, okay? And you might just totally dislike me after me saying this, but in a way, they are checking out for the way that most people use them. I'll put it that way. Now, if you're in a situation where you're eating well most of the time and you want to periodically do sort of a cleansing thing and jump out of your routine and kind of, and you can approach it with that sort of taking a break and getting a little perspective and getting away from the daily meals and all these kinds of things. I've done cleanses like that, and they're actually quite fulfilling. I will say that in 5 years of practicing as a practicing nutritionist, I've never recommended a cleanse to not one client, ever. And I've said it on this podcast a few times. Your level of health will be determined by what you do before the cleanse and what you do after the cleanse. That's what this podcast is dedicated to. But for many people that go to these cleanses and these diets, they are the excitement of the process, and they are a way, ironically, to check out, to take a vacation from life. And what I'm advocating for is attending to life most of the time so that you don't need those things as much. Like in the field of food, the healthier you eat most of the time, the less you need cleanses. I mean, that's a fact. That's why animals don't go on juice fasts or whatever. Okay, when you eat heavy box foods most of the time and you get your body into as good of a balance as you can in the modern world, you don't need to do cleanses. You don't need to do cleanses. Sorry, you don't. And when you don't eat heavy box foods most of the time and you eat light box foods most of the time, doing a cleanse is not going to make a substantial change in your level of health if you do it for a week and then go back to eating light box foods. You have to figure out a way to incorporate healthy behaviors over time that last over time, that last a substantial amount of time to see real change. You can lose 15 pounds in a month, but is it real fat that you're losing? Is it going to stay off? Is it going to teach you about yourself and give you increased self-confidence and self-esteem and make you a happier person? These are the questions that I'm asking and answering, frankly, because I've seen it before. I've seen it in myself. And I'm trying to help you guys to that end, is determine the things you want to change in your life. And don't say you're bad because you want to make changes. Who cares? I got tons of changes I still want to make. Everybody does, because you can't get 100% balance in the modern world. And these diets, in effect, are promising us, or it's sneaky, but it looks like balance. It's like, get this weight off as fast as possible and you're going to be thin and happy and healthy. And it's just not, it's not happening. It's not happening. It's not going to happen. And even if you lose the weight, you'll probably gain it back and you won't learn anything about yourself. Small step and you learn something about yourself. As soon as you take a small step, you take that glass of water in the morning, you learn something about yourself, because you pay attention to your own life. You are not taking a vacation from life. You are engaging further in your life and you're saying, I want to take control of my life and the person who I want to be. I want to be more of the person that I want to be, step by step. You may never be that person 100%, but over time you realize that doesn't actually matter. I mean, that is the liberating part of this whole process, is you may not become that exact person. You may not be exactly as thin as you set out to be, but when you hit your own balance, you'll know it. And then you're there. You go, I'm not going farther. Like, just what I got. I found my place. Okay. Long-winded. That's the title. I called an audible. The title of this podcast episode, Long-winded. Okay, I just have to tell you that I went to Scotland in 2000. You thought I forgot. You thought I forgot. Shame on you. Went to Scotland in 2002 for a little trip when we used to do things called traveling. And before we had what are called kids. And visited a couple distilleries, one of which was called Talisker. Still like that scotch. Not my favorite. Okay, it's not my favorite, but I like it. But anyway, we took a tour, and what was amazing about it is that I talked to the guy. I was like the nerdy Scottish sycophant, just like, and then what do they do? Anyway, so I asked him. I was like, okay, so this distillery, when it opened, however many years ago, it was started by farmers, and that's, I guess, the way that a lot of distilleries started was just like farmers would get together and sort of, they'd farm their land, but then they would start a distillery too. And by the way, don't ever go to Scotland and order scotch, just FYI, because it's just called whiskey over there. Okay, it's like going to Mexico and ordering Mexican food. Just wink, wink, been there, learn from my experience. Okay, and so I asked him, I was like, when they set this distillery up, And they made their first batch of whiskey. Like, what did they do? And he goes, well, they just waited 12 years. They waited 12 years before their first freaking pot. How awesome is that? They start the distillery, they put the whiskey in the barrels, and then they go, okay, well, we'll just deal with that in 12 years. 12 years. Tell me another thing that is done like that today. You cannot rush that process. And as crazy as you think I already am, especially if you just joined this episode for the first time ever, I'm going to relate the making of scotch to health, which is that you can't rush this process. True health and happiness cannot be rushed. When you rush the process, you diminish the quality of the experience every time. Why do we rush the process? Because we're wired that way. We're wired to find joy and happiness as easily as we can, just like we're wired to find calories as easy as we can. But we're going to have to understand, at the end of the day, we're going to have to be adults and understand that certain things cannot be rushed. Certain things cannot be hurried. Okay? And I'm definitely talking about Scott. Can you hear my dog in the background? It's driving me friggin' batty. Okay? Bronte, barking up a storm. Okay? I'm sure my neighbors are even less happy about this than I am. And if you can't hear her, lucky you. Okay. Moving on, everybody. Okay, I got I was debating on whether to discuss this a little bit. I read an article. It was a video. Short video. I'm not going to say what site that I was on. It might rhyme with eindaudien.com. And it was this guy talking about paleo versus vegan, right? This is the thing, right? I wrote an article a long time ago on the paleo versus vegan thing, okay? So I already touched on the stuff that he was saying. Whatever. All I'm saying is it's getting kind of tired. It's tiring for me. But I saw this video, so I watched it. It was 5 minutes long. Okay. And this guy's saying, he's doing the thing of like, it was like, what's better, paleo versus vegan? And he sounded very reasonable. He might even be a doctor. Sounded very reasonable. He was sort of talking about how, the similarities between the two, where eating, not eating crap, not eating junk food, not eating dairy, like there's the similarities of those two. Then he starts getting into sort of like the grains and beans things, like the paleo, the paleo camp isn't sort of into that kind of thing. They go to the meat, and I can tell he's talking about protein, right? I already know that's going there, right? Because that's the big sticking point. So then he starts talking about blatantly animal protein. And then he starts saying, if you're an old ultra athlete, maybe, you know, you can handle the grains and beans, and maybe that's okay. And maybe if you have, you know, your gut bacteria is in really good shape, then, you know, maybe grains are okay for you. And everybody's different, he says. And everybody's different. And everybody, you know, some people can, and some people, you know, can't. And some people can do that, and some people can do that. And if you hear in my voice a level of sarcasm or criticism, then you're hearing what I'm talking about here. Because I am really in disagreement with this everybody is different kind of thing. Because really what I want you to understand, and really what I'm talking about here, and I did a radio interview one time with this station in Oregon, and this guy called up and he was like, well, we evolve eating meat and that's why we're on top of the food chain and And I was like, look, mister, what I'm discussing here, and I'm not, listen, you, if you eat meat, there's no criticism here. I'm just saying there is light box to heavy box. Meat is a heavier box than other stuff. I mean, meat is a heavier box food than white sugar or white flour. Okay? It's in that spectrum. And if you want to be healthier, then you want to move in that spectrum. But then again, it's a bigger picture than even just food. And that's what this podcast is about, ideas. This isn't about labels and vegan and paleo and all this kind of stuff. But what I'm talking about particularly is not what we can tolerate, not what the ultra marathoner can do, because the ultra marathoner burns 6,000 calories a day and so he has to eat 9,000 calories, or she has to eat 9,000 calories, okay? What I'm talking about is not the one person who has the perfect microbiome and the perfect balance of good bacteria and bad bacteria and has everything under control, and so therefore they can tolerate X, Y, Z. I'm not talking about what we can tolerate. I am talking about what is optimal for the human body. What is optimal? And that's what I told the guy on the radio. I said, this isn't, of course we evolved eating meat. Of course. There's no, I don't think anybody disputes that our species has consumed animal flesh over the years. There's no disputing that. Again, this comes back to what I was touching on before, which is, it's not what we've always done, it's what we've always been. What we have always been is an animal that is designed physically in pretty much every single respect with regards to the acid level, pH levels in our gut, pH levels in our stomachs, the length of our intestines, our ability to grind food with our teeth. The physical makeup of our bodies thrives on plants. It's just, we have to keep discussing this because there's money to be made. Can you be totally healthy and eat a little bit of meat and plants? Yeah, of course. I mean, there's no denying that. If you have a problem with eating meat for other reasons, then I believe you should act on that too. Because if you're in conflict about that, then you should take steps to rectify that in your life, because that stress, that conflict creates stress in your life, and that stress is debilitating on a very physical level. So it's not that you can't be healthy doing these things. It's just, what is optimal? And second of all, what is causing conflict in you physically and mentally? Okay? And so this cop-out attitude of like, hey man, whatever, you know, we're all different. We as a species thrive on basically the same stuff. What he's factual about is, if you look at each individual, yes, different individuals can tolerate different things. For instance, I think as a species, we are all not meant to breastfeed after the age of about 2 or 3. Now, can some people tolerate breastfeeding from a cow after the age of 3 a little better than other people? Yes. And that is where I talk about the bigger picture of human health, which is, how stressed is a person, is an individual? How stressful are their lives? Because stress, chronic stress, weakens digestion. So if you have a person A who is pretty relaxed, doesn't have high stress, they may be able to tolerate something so difficult to digest as cheese. The person next to them, person B, highly stressed, you know, doesn't get a lot of sleep, has a really stressful job, you know, X, Y, Z, right? And they have a really hard time with dairy. Or maybe they do have a genetic disposition that allow that their digestion isn't as strong, or they can't digest things that hard, and the first person does. That's where the variation comes from, individual to individual. But the design of our species is fairly true. And that is, it's similar species-wide. We are not designed to breastfeed from a cow, period. Just not designed to breastfeed from a cow. If you eat cheese and milk, go ahead. There's no judgment here. It's just, let's accept what is natural for our species, so that if you decide at some point in your life that you want to be healthier than you are right now, and I'm not saying you're not healthy if you eat cheese. I'm just saying if you're not as healthy as you are, as you want to be, then you look at that spectrum of food anyway and say, okay, well, I'm going to move and I'm going to take a step into the heavy box realm. I'm going to start adding in a little more heavy box food. I'm not going to worry about the cheese right now, et cetera, et cetera. Okay? But then it doesn't, and it can't stop there. You have to then, don't have to, okay? I'll be clear about that. If you want to change the quality of your life, then you start to look at all the other areas of your life, because it is not, I can't impress upon you enough that it is not just about food. Food is one of the things that allows us to either thrive or not thrive in the modern world, but it's stress of any kind. So all the other parts of your life in the modern world, you over time can pay attention to and say, well, I kind of want to adjust this here, and I'm not spending enough time with my tribe, and I don't get outside enough, so I'm going to start with something so minimal. It's 1 minute a day that I stand outside and take a deep breath. I mean, that may be your step. That may be your connecting with nature step, getting outside and breathing fresh air one time a day for 1 minute. I mean, that may be your starting point. Okay? It's all those pictures, but I take exception to this kind of cop-out thing of like, I'd actually have more respect if he was just like, paleo, eat meat 4 times a day. I'd be like, well, I disagree, but he's going strong on it. So, you know, fine. I'll debate, but that's good. But this sort of like, it's just different for everybody. It's not different for everybody. Okay. It's sorry, but it's not in terms of what is optimal for us. It's different only in what we can tolerate as individuals, what we can tolerate, not what is optimal. Okay. All right. If I lost you, you know what? I still got 7.8 billion people that are listening to this podcast every day. 7.8 billion. I've got Philip Morris on board as a sponsor. I've got Monsanto. They are beaten down. I'm like, Monsanto, sorry, not doing it. Million an episode? Sorry, not worth it. Eventually, they're going to wear me down, though. Those guys are, boy, they just keep at it. Okay, back to my meditation. So last week, we we all meditated together, didn't we? Guess what I've been doing since then, since the last episode, which I think was only like 4 days ago. By the way, I'm back on track. Are you guys impressed? I've been meditating every day. Okay? Taking a deep breath. Listening to the breath. Watch. Ready? There, I just did it again. Did you guys want to do that? You want to do it? Go ahead, do it. Nice work. Okay. if somebody was giving a speech just now, first of all, you should not be listening to my podcast while you're giving a speech, but also maybe not the best time to meditate. Okay, they're all wondering why you took a pause for no reason. Okay. I've been doing it every day, and obviously that step for me is appropriate. So now I'm going to jump up a step starting today. So I'm probably going to do, I think I might do a timed thing instead of a number of breath thing. So I think I'm going to do 20 seconds. That's going to be my step. I'm just sharing that with you. I want you to see how this is done, because the more you understand the concrete, I mean, I talk about ideas in this podcast, and if you've been with me for even more than one episode, we go deep here. Okay. That's the point here. We go deep. But at the same time, I want you guys to understand the very practical reality of this philosophy of health and happiness and how to actually engage this process. Okay? So this is what that is. Now, why did I come up with 20 seconds? Because I'm in charge. Not of you, but of me. So I'm set in 20 seconds. There's no rhyme or reason. This is how fun this can be. There's no rhyme or reason. I didn't go to a book. from Swami, you know, what's his face, who said 20 seconds, you must go to 20 seconds, you know. That's exactly what that guy sounds like, by the way. That, if you thought you were listening to him, it's eerie. My imitations are spot on, okay? I set 20 seconds because that's what I felt like setting. That's what you do. You literally throw the dart and you go, okay, where'd it land? And then because there's no failure in this process, you can't go wrong. 20 seconds may be way too much for me. And you go, whoop-de-doo. I mean, this is how it's so hard for me to sort of communicate. This is what's hard for me to communicate, okay? I'm approaching 50 episodes, okay? And what's hard for me to communicate is how enjoyable this process can be, because you take this control of your life on and you see the effect immediately. It is pretty cool. And you just go, I'm going to try this. And you learn to live this life of adventure in a way. And you might feel fear, but you learn to just go, yeah, okay, but I'm still going to do this. And the this that you do is taking on your life and engaging. It's freaking awesome. Okay? It's just awesome. Why would I come back here every week and talk about this stuff if I did not believe in this? Why would I do that? I can have a ton more listeners if I told you what you wanted to hear. But I'm telling you what I want to hear, and I'm hoping that gets to you over time. And you know what? If you don't agree with me but you still come back here, then that's awesome also, because at least you're open to like something that doesn't make sense to you or that you don't agree with, but you're willing to listen, and that makes you a person who's going to grow in your life, and good on you. Okay? You don't have to agree with me, but good for you for just checking it out and then turning on the freaking Paleo podcast afterwards. Okay? By John Q. Paleo. He does a good job. I'm not saying that. Okay, so I wanted to get into my next subject of this episode. And these are just things I think about over time. And I was going on a run. I went on a great run on Sunday morning. I haven't been running, but not nearly the mileage, you know, when I was training for the marathon. But once in a while, I'll take a long run. This was not like a super long one compared to what I used to do, but it is an 8-miler. And remember I talk about things that have become like no big deal. Well, running 6 miles to me is not a big deal anymore. Used to be, but the small step process, which I definitely did unknowingly with running, because you almost can't not do that, right? With running, like you can't go to 8 miles. You're sort of forced into the small step process with running. I mean, I want you to think about that for a second, because I was thinking about this, is that this is one of those areas where like training for a marathon, you're kind of forced into the small step arena by just, there's nobody out there telling you that you can run a marathon in 7 days. They just can't do it because they can't deliver on that. Just like, by the way, there's nobody who can deliver health and happiness in 7 days either, which is why they promise you weight loss, but they don't actually promise you anything substantial. They promise you a side effect instead of an actual result. Just be aware of the language, okay? Okay. Anyway, so I was on my run, 8-mile trail run, super awesome. I'm thinking about doing a 50-miler. I know, it's nuts, right? I know. But anyway, April 1st in Sacramento, I got my bud Meg, you know, I'm going to mention her. She's awesome. She's going to shepherd me through this process because I'm like a little kid, I'm like all scared. She's like, take it freaking easy, man. Anyway, I was on this run and I carry my little handy dandy voice recorder and I was thinking about this. Now, I don't know if most of you guys know this, but I used to be a full-time actor, and so did some indie kind of films and in the beginning and you know, when I got my SAG card and all that kind of rigmarole, okay? But I was thinking about this kind of thing, and I actually did this show that was shot on the coast, a little web show. Couple years ago, that was fun too. And what I liked about that, and this is, I was kind of just daydreaming about this, but I was actually able to relate it to what I talk about here, which is that little show I did is very indie. I mean, indie like in every sense of the word, right? Truly independent. But what was interesting about the show and why it worked for the time that we did it anyway, I think, is that the scope of that show was kept within the budgetary reality of that film, of that show. Okay. In other words, the director wasn't trying to do more than he had the resources to work with. He wasn't trying a scope of a show that was beyond the very realities that he was faced with in terms of budget, in terms of actors, in terms of locations, in terms of all the things that you have to put into place to put together this show. He wasn't going, well, I've got these realities, but I'm going to try to do this. That was way bigger than what he was able to do. And I think when definitely in the film arena, you can tell when a film tries to take on too much. Because what happens is, and this is all metaphor, okay, you guys? Metaphor. When you put more of your resources into one area, the other areas are weakened. Okay? The other areas are weakened. So in life, now I'm talking about life, which is a metaphor for film. No, I'm joking. Take a sip of scotch. I totally did not mean to blow your mind just now. In life, for instance, when you go on that diet, you are putting more of your resources, your life resources, into that diet such that it has become, I talked about this before, the thing that you are doing. But you cannot sustain that because the other things in your life are now put on the back burner. And you can't sustain that because there's other parts of your life that you have to attend to. Okay? But here's the big point I want to make. Your body will do as it's directed. You are the director of your body, just like a director of a film. And as much as your body sometimes cannot take on more than it's doing, if you direct it to do more, it will do more, at least the best that it can. If you are not eating well and your body does not have the tools to process calories cleanly and efficiently, and it is backed up and it is inefficient, and you direct it to train for a marathon, it will train for that marathon. It is the crew that you are working with to make your movie. And when you push yourself to that marathon, the parts of your life that your body was already struggling with are attended to less. And suffering will result. At least there's a greater chance of that happening. Okay? Your body will listen to your direction. You have a responsibility to assess what the scope of what your body can do. If you don't get enough sleep and you work 15 hours a day and you're exhausted and you eat junk food all day, I'm not even going to advocate you change that necessarily. I'm just going to say, understand that reality of your life. There is your budget in your movie. There is your reality. There is your location and your actors and all these kinds of things. That's your reality. So that when you try to take on too much by training for a marathon, the more you understand your reality, the better choices you can make about your life. And maybe you understand, you know what, this may not be the best time for me to train for my marathon. Or maybe if I want to train for that marathon because that's the movie I want to make, then maybe I need to shore up my resources in other areas like eating better food and getting more sleep and adjusting my work schedule and creating a little more balance so that I can take that on. Okay? Your body will direct, your body will eat the food that you direct it to eat. Your body will digest, at least the best it can, the food that you direct it to eat. Okay? It already has all these duties that your body is already doing every day while you're even listening to this podcast right now. Literally trillions of things. So all the cells in your body are working to maintain cleanliness and to do the jobs that they're designed to do. Metabolizing, repairing, and digesting, and all the things that we do. Okay? Detoxifying. On top of that, we then direct our bodies to do things in the modern world that, frankly, we have to watch out because our bodies are already working. It's not like we're getting our bodies off the couch and going, would you get up and do something? You cannot lay on the couch all summer. The body's like, you're now asking me to do that and that. And I, you know what I'm doing? A whole bunch of, even though you don't know this because you're playing on a computer, I'm actually doing a whole bunch of stuff. Even while you sleep, I'm doing the business. And now you get up and you're making me run a marathon. I only have 3 hours of sleep. What do you expect me to do? Okay? And if you actually listened to your body in a real way, like I've talked about, it's probably telling you that it can't take on a marathon. It's probably already telling you by messaging, by the way that it's holding weight around the midsection, by the your skin health, by how much you get sick, by stomach aches, by headaches, that maybe it's a little too busy right now to take on anything extra. And maybe it needs a little help just to get stuff done that it's already doing. Maybe if you helped it get that stuff done, then maybe it can take on more stuff. Okay? And back to the film, it's like the director, you know, on a little indie film with like no money, the director going to the production assistant and going, listen, I want this spaceship to look like it's flying for real. Like, I need the best special effects ever. Like, nobody can question that this spaceship is in space. Okay, here's $5. Get that done. Okay? So then you end up with a little paper crayon, you know, spaceship taped to a freaking popsicle stick, you know, with a hand showing in the scene. I mean, that's what you're going to get. You can only get as much as you have the ability to get. When you small step yourself, you assess. So maybe that 20 seconds meditation for me, maybe that's too much. I don't know if I have the resources to do that right now, given the entire picture of my life. That's what I want to find out. That's what I want to find out. Why do I want to find out? Because I want to make the best movie possible, given what I have. I want to make the best movie possible. Okay? You are the director of your movie. You are the director of your movie. Okay? Help your body, or at least assess how well your body is able to do the things that it is already doing. Look at that first. How well is your body able to do the things it is already doing before you go on the diet, before you train more for the spin class and train for the marathon and take on too much? How clean is your house already? How efficiently is that household run? Okay? It's like diverting resources into, it's, you know, when you're working on a deadline or you're in finals week or you've got a, you know, thing at work and when I was writing my book, okay? You know, it's like the laundry on the floor. Like you have like just enough energy to like do a load of laundry, but then not enough to fold it. And so it's like on your floor and you start to actually live off of that pile of laundry. Like that becomes your sort of mobile dresser. You sort of wander into the living room in the morning and you rummage through a pile of clean laundry and you sort of grab the things that you need and you just get dressed right there. Right in the living room, just get dressed right in the living room. Okay? Like we've all done that, right? Right. You've all done that, right? That cannot just be me and my wife with twins because that's what we did for a year. Eventually, it's a good thing to fold the laundry. It's eventually a good thing to get your house in order, especially when you want to take on and make change in your life for the better, to improve the quality of your life. It's oftentimes a good thing to assess the business your body is already doing and to help it do it better. For me, meditation, I will tell you, is what I see is an act to that end. It is an act to help my body do what it's doing better. That's how I see things like journaling and meditation. And I think a lot of the things that we take on, like moving your body, I just want to be clear that running a marathon is a lot more than just moving your body. Okay. Now I'm thinking about doing a 50. Okay. Now I'm a health coach. I do this for a living. Okay. I'm a nutritionist. So I'm not going to look at that 50 and go, I better run a lot. That's all I got to do. I just got to run a lot. I'm going, okay, so I got to get my house in order. I got to start feeding my body really, really well if I'm going to take this on without getting sick or injured, right? I've got to meditate like I'm doing. I got to journal like I'm doing. I've got to make sure that my life and I'm spending time with my family. The things that provide balance, I need to make sure those are in good place for me to take on that much of a thing. If I just take that on, all these other things fall by the wayside and are weakened, and it weakens my entire life as a whole. Okay? It's putting all the pieces in balance for yourself. It is directing the entire movie, all the parts that go into making of a movie that director has to attend to. Okay? You can't just spend all your everything on special effects because everything else is going to be lost. Okay? All right. Do you guys think that I've sufficiently beat the film metaphor into the ground? Totally did. But anyway, I was just thinking about that. Because your body does what you ask it to do. And it's kind of amazing the power that our brains have, our body, against its better judgment. I mean, it's telling us all signs pointing, I don't want to do this. And we're just like, you need to do this. You need to stay up all night. I'm going to make you stay up all night. I'm going to put caffeine in you, and I'm just going to just muscle through an all-nighter against your body's every wish and command. And we have that power, but you have to be responsible with it if you want to live better. That is. Okay? All right. I'm going to finish up this evening's podcast, and you may be listening to this in the morning, in which case that made no sense to you, with what I call the real before and after. Okay? Now, the before and after thing, it comes up a lot. And I wanted to just, it's a tongue-in-cheek title. Okay? But we are driven by before and after shots. If you pay attention over the next week in media, in magazines, how many times you might come across the before and after. I mean, People Magazine, every other friggin' issue is a before and after, or every issue has some before and after. Okay? Infomercials. We're always about, we love the before and after. We love the before and after, right? There's the before, split screen, there's the after. Oh my God. Unbelievable. Boom, boom, before and after. And you go, what did that person do? Whatever they did to get that before to that after is amazing. And I've got to be able to do that. What this podcast is about and what this discussion is about each week is what's in between the before and after. That's the first point I want to make. It is the in-between. The second point I want to make, it is what's after the after, because it is what sticks in your life and what continues, what is truly sustainable, okay? Because oftentimes the before and after becomes the before again. And I don't show you that because that doesn't sell a magazine, okay? The third point is the before and after in these magazines and TV shows and everything else are showing you the outward effect of some plan or something that that person did, but it doesn't show you increased health and happiness. Ever. My before and after is showing you this, and it makes for the worst photograph ever. It shows a person who may be needed to be distracted from their lives, who may be needed light box food to get them at through a day, who maybe had real need of people out of insecurity and need instead of, you know, wanting to be with people, but insecurity and diffident, not confident, and needing, being very needy. And that was the before. And then the after that person takes control of their lives and takes on things in their lives that improve their health and happiness, then the after is all the things they don't need anymore. All the distractions they don't need anymore. The relationships that are based on desire and love and friendship and not out of need and insecurity. Things that you cannot see in a photograph. You can't see in a photograph. You can't see the person who is taking control of their lives and doing things by choice and acting instead of reacting and saying, this is the person I want to be, and I'm taking steps to be that person. And I'm in that process learning everything about myself and becoming a person that I want to be. And somebody takes a picture of that person, and it's there's no before and after like that. There's no before and after like that. It's taking on your life in ways that are meaningful for you, that don't manifest in a picture that can be sold in a magazine every before and after you see is selling you a plan or a diet or a quick fix. But what's interesting and what is sustainable is what counts and what continues and what is in between. What happened between the person on the left and the person on the right? What happened there? But more deeply than that is to get beyond the before and after and to say becoming a different person over time may not look that different in a photograph at some point, but can be substantially and profoundly different in the life of that person. And it is not about the picture. And I was thinking about this the other day that in my first task that I always reference, where you write about who you truly are in first person, present tense, essentially who you want to be, but you're writing it as if it's already happening. So if you're overweight, you write, I'm thin, I'm fit, I'm totally healthy. Okay? As if it's the reality. And that's how you determine what you value, who you truly are, because those are the things that are, all the things you write in that task are the things that are most important to you. That's what defines you. What do you think is important? But when you write, and I've had this exact experience, when you write something that isn't manifesting in your life in the moment, in other words, when you write, I am thin and fit, but today you're actually not thin and fit, you feel inauthentic in that moment where you write that thing or you think that thing, and you go, I'm thin. I'm a thin person. And this is not positive thinking. Remember, last week I spit on positive thinking, okay? This is not positive thinking. This is not, I'm going to visualize I'm thin and I will become thin with no work and no attention and no mindfulness and no awareness and no action and no hard work. This is, what do you value? What is important to you? And when you feel that little nudge, when you feel that little, that doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel right to write that I'm thin because I'm not thin. I will be here every week to remind you that it is not about what you are. It is about what you value. It is about what is important to you. And when you feel conflict, when you write I'm thin, but you aren't thin, that conflict is the conflict between what you stand for and how you are acting in the moment. But it doesn't change what you stand for. It doesn't change what you value. It doesn't change what is important to you. You may not be exhibiting all the actions in your day-to-day right now to yield you that value, but it doesn't change the fact that it's a value. It doesn't change the fact that that's a value to you, that that is who you are. It's only ever a question of how much in line with your values you're acting in the world. How much in line with your values are you acting? It's never all or nothing. It's just how much? How much heavy box versus light box? How much movement versus stagnancy? How much journaling? How much meditation? How much socialization? How much grounding your body to the earth? How much does it take for you to act more in line each day with the things that are truly important to you? Okay? The thin and the fit and the I run marathons, like all the things you might write. Here's the thing where I'm going to jump back to this sort of we're all different kind of idea. And to say again, we're not. Because what I argue is that health and happiness are values that everybody would write. Because I don't think we choose these values. These are the two values that we do not choose. Health and happiness are not values we choose. They're wired into us. We could all write on this paper, I am healthy and I am happy, because I think we understand at the end of the day that all of our quality of life depends on being healthy and happy. That is what we're after essentially. We can fill it in with I'm a marathoner. We can fill it in with I'm thin. We can fill it in with I have a great job and I travel and I do fun things in my life, or whatever that page looks like when you write it. But it is under the idea and the umbrella that health and happiness, I am a healthy person and I am a happy person. And if you write, I am a healthy person and a happy person, and you get that little tinge of, that doesn't feel right, that doesn't mean those aren't values to you. That just means that right now, you're not acting completely in line with those values. When you write, I eat healthy food most of the time, and you feel that little tinge, it's not because you don't value eating well. It's because right now it just may not be a reality for you. But that's one. That's the beauty of this process, is that you learn that about yourself. You go, I'm in conflict about this. Obviously, I should be eating better because I'm feeling like it's kind of a weird thing. It doesn't mean you go, oh, I'm dishonest. I'm inauthentic. You're being your most authentic at that point. You're being your most authentic at that point. When you write, I'm thin, because you're getting to the nitty gritty here. You're getting to what's of value for you. So you feel inauthentic writing it. Well, that's because you're not living in line with your value yet. So what? So what? The first thing is you got to find out what you value. And I was thinking about it. It's like growing up for most of us, and I know I have listeners of all ages, okay? I don't think any younger than probably 16. But for all of us growing up, I think part of growing up is understanding what we actually value, not how we feel. We know how we feel. We know what we're afraid of, and we know what we're nervous about, and we know what we think we can and can't do. But when you back away from that and go, okay, well, all that stuff's there. I'm not going to change that. Whatever. That's just what it is. I don't even care. But here's what I value. I've been fat my whole life. I've been out of shape my whole life. My parents were this way and that way, and therefore I've been this way and this way. I've done all these kinds of things in relationship to how I was raised. Fine. Okay, good, good. But here's what I value. Here's what I value. And that perhaps the process of growing up is the extent to which we understand those things, what we stand for. And what you stand for is literally limitless. Nobody can tell you what you do or don't stand for. You have the power right now, no matter who you are in your life today, right now, while you're listening to this podcast, whether you're the heaviest person or most unhealthy person on the world, nobody can stop you from saying, I value health and happiness. Nobody can stop you from saying, I value being fit and feeling good in my body. That is a value that I have. Somebody could go, well, you're not fit and thin. You're not healthy in your body. Okay. So what difference does that make? All that doesn't make any difference. Yes. Okay, fine. Yeah, I'm not there yet. But now I know that this is where I'm going because I did this process, because I now understand that this is a value to me. This is a real value to me. Being fit and feeling good in my body is important to me. Now I'm going to start taking on steps to make that a reality in my life. How amazing is that? How liberating is that? That nobody has the power to take that away from you. Nobody. Nobody. And that is a before and after picture that will never show that picture, that will never get to what is really happening in this process. That a year from today, when you take these small steps and you maybe don't in a year lose 250 pounds like the person on the cover of People magazine, but maybe in that year you have done this small steps to understand and know yourself better than you have ever known yourself in your entire life. And maybe other parts of your life have fallen into place, like your job and like you're doing creative pursuits, and maybe you're spending more time outside, and maybe you have a really great group of friends, and you've developed your relationship that you have. How is that going to, what's that going to show? What's that going to look like in that before and after shot? It doesn't sell. It doesn't sell. You know why? Because it's real. It's real. And maybe in a year, maybe you are thin. Maybe you do lose the weight, but it's not the same kind of thing, because in that year, if you got thin, you in this process, you realize that being thin is just one of the things that happened to you. And you don't even give a crap about taking a picture. You are liberated from the results that we are sold in media and in books. You're liberated from those results. You are on an adventure to find out about yourself once and for all, no matter how old or how young you are, and you understand it as a process, and every day you get up and go, now what am I going to try? What's next? What's next? What's next? I'm not stuck. What's next? You take it on, you adjust, you reassess, and you continually move forward, and you go back and forth, but your overall trajectory is forward. And the before and after, that's the real before and after. Okay? The real before and after is you transforming the way you live in this world and taking control of your life in a way that maybe nobody would ever recognize who didn't know you or was looking at you from afar, and it stops mattering at all to you. That is the real before and after. All right? All right, you guys. I'm checking out for the day. I'm back on track, which means set your clocks. 1 week from today, I'll be back. All right, you guys, you're awesome for listening. I thank you, thank you, thank you. As always, throw me a review on iTunes. Very helpful. And throw me an email, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com if you have any questions. Otherwise, join me at That Spreecast, okay? All right, you guys, you're doing great. I love hearing from everybody. I've been getting some amazing emails, and it touches me very deeply, and I love it, and I appreciate it. All right, you guys? All right, till next week, be well. We are not realtors. Remind you not realtors. We are not vetted down here. We are not simplified. We can change. We think so, so we can. You all are the ones held down. You all are the ones. So here I am, here I am. So here I am, here I am. Here is your sentimental, here is your misty eyes. Here is your safety net, here is your wishing well. Here is your little brown chair, here is your mouth wide shut. Here is your death, here is your dying.